2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Examine yourselves. What do you do in the faith? Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Good evening, everyone. It's good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for your presence. We're honored by your presence. And we're thankful for another opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. My challenge this evening is to be short, and my wife says that is a challenge for me. So, you know it's a true challenge when your wife says that. So, we'll do the best we can for our visitors, and we're so thankful that they've come our way. And certainly we will accommodate as best we can. You know, when you think of an examination, those are things that we go through from time to time, typically. We'll go to the doctor, and the doctor will give us an examination. But this evening, what we'd like to talk about is a spiritual examination. It's an examination that certainly should happen from time to time, where we should evaluate our own life, our walk with God, in serving Him the best of our ability. And to put some context around our Bible reading that was just read, there's a lot of build-up before that is said. There's a lot of history, as you might say. The history with the church at Corinth, I think that you would find that in Acts chapter 18, where really the congregation is established there, and you see that in verses 1 through 11 there. We see Paul departs from Athens, and he goes to Corinth in chapter 18, and he meets different individuals there, and it unfolds as they are trying to preach the gospel there, and we see that individuals are being baptized, individuals are being converted, as you work down through the text here in Corinth. And in verse 8, you see, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. We continue down on through the text there to verse 11, and it says he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. The church at Corinth has a history. They were established there in Acts chapter 18, and then we have what we see in 1 Corinthians, the first letter to these individuals, and we see that Paul, when he's writing to them, Paul being very forward and upfront, addresses many of the spiritual things that are going wrong at the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians, we see various issues that the church is struggling with there. Just to name a few, we see that some are really claiming spiritual superiority over others based off of who baptized them. We see kind of division, a little bit of perhaps the seeds of denominationalism. We see brothers and sisters in Christ at the church at Corinth suing one another. We see them taking communion in a way that's really not worthy, really kind of downgrading it to almost a common meal. We see people at Corinth that are engaged in sexual misconduct and sexual misbehavior. And really, Paul, writing the letter, is calling them to a higher ethical and moral ground. And then we get into 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, we're dealing with the same congregation, working from this history. The history that we see in Acts chapter 18, where the church is established, we have 1 Corinthians, a letter written to these individuals, trying to correct some of their missteps in relation to moral matters. And we get to 2 Corinthians, and really what's going on, I'd say verses 10 through 12, is there is a fraction at the church at Corinth that is really questioning Paul's apostleship. They are questioning Paul's apostleship. They're bringing that into question. And I think that Paul is not really necessarily too stressed about that, but he's planning to visit them again. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, I think he's confident in his apostleship. As you read 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, "Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in the signs and wonders and mighty deeds." I think Paul is confident in his apostleship. He understands that he is doing the best he can to talk to these individuals, even though these fractions are really coming up against him. And that's really where this statement comes across that was read for us, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. They're really pulling Paul into question. They're like, "Hey, are you an apostle?" They're challenging him. And really, I think that Paul almost throws that back at them in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. He says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ Jesus is in you? You know, you think about that idea of examining yourself. You think of that in terms of doctors examining us. A doctor almost has a checklist, don't they? As they go down through and they start to look at things and evaluate things in your life. And they're very structured. I know with my children, it's almost the same checklist every time, depending on what month of development they're in. And they say, can your child do this? Can your child do this? Can your child do this? An examination. And we take that physical examination, and if we apply that to ourselves, when's the last time you gave yourself a good spiritual examination? I think the Bible actually kind of suggests sometimes that spiritual examination should be structured into our lives, but I think that many times we are professional critics. We are professional commentators. In fact, I think when we look at the Old Testament many times, we're very quick at picking out the mistakes of others. If we look through the New Testament, we're very quick to pick out on the mistakes of perhaps a congregation or an individual. But are you good at picking out the mistakes of yourself? Are you good at picking out your own spiritual problem? And I think that's something that we have to be considering as Christians, is can we examine ourselves well? Certainly, spiritual examination is in order. In John chapter 7 and verse 24, it tells us to not judge according to appearance, but to judge righteous judgment. And on occasion, that righteous judgment is needed. And sometimes it is needed in relation to ourselves. Can we apply righteous judgment towards ourselves? Certainly, when we look out into the world, we don't want to judge based off of appearance. We want to dig down, and we really want to judge a righteous judgment. And when it comes to situations in the Bible, when it comes to Old Testament examples, when it comes to New Testament examples, we're very quick to pick out on the mistakes of individuals. We can pick out Peter's mistakes. We can pick out the church at Corinth's mistakes. But really, the challenge for us as individual Christians is many times, can we pick out our own mistakes? The Bible encourages us to do so. In fact, when we look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, talking about judging there, it's talking really about hypocritical judging. You know, going out and trying to attack people, go after people for problems that they have, but not really looking at yourself first. And I think that's an idea that a Christian has to consider, is can we look at ourselves first? So if we were going to sit down with a spiritual checklist, what might be on it? If we were going to try to examine ourselves, certainly there's many things that could be on this checklist, but I just want to consider three very shortly this evening. If you're going to give yourself a spiritual examination, one of the things that you need is an honest heart. Are you really looking for your spiritual flaws? You know, I think that is a challenge, one that we have to consider from time to time, is are we really looking for our spiritual flaws? When we look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, we have a situation there, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And I would suggest to you that one of these individuals really has an honest heart. One of these individuals is looking diligently for their flaws, their mistakes. And the question for us is, when we're doing a spiritual examination on ourselves, are we looking for our spiritual flaws? Are we trying to look where the problems are? Or are we looking to find everybody else's problems and not our own? As we look in that situation, Luke chapter 18, it says, also he spoke a parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Which of the two was trying to spot their spiritual flaws? It seems like when we look at the Pharisee, he is very quick to find all the mistakes in everybody else. He starts to rattle off a list, doesn't he? It's almost prepackaged and ready to go, ready to rattle off all the mistakes that are in the world, but can't see the mistake in himself. Can you see the mistake in yourself? You know, certainly that's something that keeps me up at night from time to time. Are we humble enough to see our mistakes? Or has our pride blinded us to the point that we cannot see our own spiritual flaws, our own spiritual weaknesses? You know, you think of Revelation and all these churches of Asia that are being written to, and when you read those, it's almost like a wake-up call. Realize, open your eyes to some of your spiritual weaknesses. Open your eyes to some of your spiritual mistakes. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first work, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." A reminder, remember. Do we try to remember? Do we try to realize our spiritual faults and our spiritual shortcomings? You know, you continue on through those churches in Asia, and certainly there are many that we can look at, but in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked.'" Talk about being blinded. These individuals here in Revelation chapter 3, it tells us what they're saying to themselves. They're saying, "I'm rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing." But the Bible says, really, you're blinded. You're not able to see your own spiritual weaknesses. You're not seeing where you're going off to the left, not seeing where you've gone off to the right. But these people are talking to themselves. Their internal dialogue is, "We're rich." And the Bible says, "You are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." What a difference in picture. Can we give ourselves a spiritual examination? Are we looking for our spiritual flaws? In Lamentation 3 and verse 40, it says, "Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord." Let's search out and let's examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Will you examine yourself? Will you examine what the Bible teaches? Are you willing to find a flaw in yourself? Or have we been blinded by the pride around us? Can you find your spiritual flaw? Psalm 26 and verse 2, it says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." Are we willing to examine ourselves? You know, this morning, somebody came to me after services, and they were talking to me about Roy coming forward a little bit, and they said, "You were emotional a little bit before you spoke." And I will say that I was. Question was, why was I emotional? Well, I think of Galatians a little bit, chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." You know, people will come forward for many different reasons. Sometimes I think that our emotions certainly can get the best of us. We believe we've done something wrong, and certainly if we feel that way, I think we need to try to make it right as best we can. So I'm not going necessarily... But when I was talking to Roy and considering those things, when he was describing what he felt he did that was wrong, I saw myself. And that's why when I stood up, I was emotional. Because as I was talking to Roy, I reflected on myself, I was reflecting on his situation, and I was thinking, have I ever done something similar? And the answer was yes. And really, you can look at it big picture, you can look at it micro picture. Actually, what he was talking about specifically, I felt like I've done on occasion. Perhaps said a discouraging word or spoken in a way that I didn't feel was appropriate. But certainly in a macro sense, anyone that comes forward, we can relate because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. So the first thing when we're examining ourselves, something that we do have to consider is, do we have an honest heart? Do we really want to find the mistake? Do we want to find the flaws? Do we want to find the issues? Sometimes when people go to the doctor, they want to hear a good report. They don't want to hear it, and really we all do. But you think about that, are you willing to hear the bad report? Are you willing to look at yourself and try to find those issues? And number two, is if we're going to do a spiritual examination on ourselves, not only do we have to have an honest heart, but we have to have a standard. You know, when you go into the doctor, they kind of have a standard. They might take your heart rate, and they might say, you're out of the range. We have to have a standard to compare ourselves to in some senses, is we have to know where right and wrong is, and certainly the Bible gives that. Number one, if we're going to do a spiritual examination, we have to be willing to find flaws. Number two is we have to know what the flaws are. We have to know what good and evil is, and certainly the Bible is a perfect standard in relation to that. We think of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We think of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. When we think about a standard, we have it before us. A standard that we can look at and see how we are working in relation to that standard. Are we doing those things that are good? Or are we going off to the left or the right of that which the Bible teaches? Are we doing those things which are good and right? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Are we following Christ's steps each and every day the way we should? We certainly know that we fall short, but that idea of looking to the standard and saying, how am I matching up? Am I doing those things that are good and right? Have I went off to the left? Have I went off to the right? Because if we're not applying ourselves to the standard, then it's very easy to get lost in opinion. Certainly the Bible warns about that in multiple places, but I think of Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2. It says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. You know, we have a way of justifying our every action, don't we? We have a way of somehow making it that we're always in the right, even if we're doing something wrong. Well, they did this to me, right? We try to justify, but all of a sudden when we get the standard out, we start to read about forgiveness, and we start to read about our mindset towards our enemies, and we start to read these things, and we try to be conformed by them, to change our minds, we realize that we fall short. But if you don't have a standard nearby when you're doing an examination, you're just going to be lost. Is this good or is this bad? I don't know. Is that a good heart rate or is that a bad heart rate? Without a standard, without something to look to, we're really just throwing out opinions. And we must be careful and cognizant of that. If we're going to do a spiritual examination on ourselves, we have to look at the heart. We have to say, am I willing to find some flaws? Number two is we have to look for a standard, something that we can look to say, what are the flaws that are out there? What is good? What is evil? Where are those lines? And I think the third thing that we have to consider, if you're going to do an examination on yourself, we have to realize that an examination is no good if we don't take the examination and try to grow or try to heal. You know, a lot of people go get examined, they realize that there's a problem, they realize that there's a problem in relation to the standard, but then they don't take the advice of the doctor. Seems like I've got a lot of people in my family that do that. You know, they go to the doctor says, hey, here's the problem, okay, here's the flaw, okay? And this is what should normally be going on, but that's not what's normally going on, and we recommend A, B, C. Person says, I'm not going to follow that, you know? So when we're thinking about spiritual examination, we have to say, are we willing to find a flaw? Number two, how can we find a flaw? It's with the standard. And then number three, are we willing to take the examination and say, how can I try to heal? How can I try to rehab? How can I try to be better? And certainly when we're living the Christian life, God is constantly working on our minds. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God is working on your mind. Certainly, we can see that in the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about all these things from the Old Testament. He says, you've heard in times of old, do not do this, to not commit adultery. But now I tell you to not even look on a woman and lust for her. See, Jesus is really after our mind. He knows if he's got our mind, that everything else will follow. So he's really trying to go back to the source of the problem. The problem lies in our heart and our mind, and if God can work on that, if he can heal that, then really all the external will be healed after that. But are you willing to take the examination of the Bible? Are you willing to look at yourself, try to find your flaws, and look at the standard and see where you should be and try to make those corrections? Is our life and our mind aligned with God? As we think of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." The Bible wants us to have the same mind as Christ. And if we have the same mind as Christ, if our mind is conformed, certainly our actions will follow. Are you testing yourself to the standard? Are you giving your spiritual flaws some examination? Are you looking for these things and trying to look at the standard, get the recommendations from the Bible, and make the correction as best you can? You know, there are many times I believe that we should examine our lives. You know, we think about, Roy coming forward this morning. It is when it says, you go through that process, and if somebody comes forward, you know, we're restoring a brother, you know, somebody's asking for prayers, or somebody's becoming a New Testament Christian. But, you know, you think about those things, I think certainly that's a time of examination. You know, where we think about our lives, we think about some of our mistakes, we think about how we can be better. And you know, even if somebody's becoming a New Testament Christian, we think about that decision that they're making. We think about when we made that decision. And we try to renew our commitment to examining ourselves and doing those things which is right. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." You know, you see that word pop up many times. It does pop up in many contexts, but you think about that word, and certainly I think it's a word that we are reflecting on this evening. Do we examine ourselves? Do we think about our spiritual lives and our spiritual conduct? Are we looking for flaws? Or we just don't even acknowledge that any could possibly be there? Do we look to the standard to see what is good and what is bad? And do we try to apply that standard to ourselves? And do we try to move forward with the examination and try to rehab, rehabilitate, and heal? You know, God has given us another day to examine ourselves. What a blessing. Another day to look at ourselves. See, it's one of the hardest examinations to do. Certainly, we can see byproducts of somebody's heart, but really, when it goes down to it, you know, God can see the heart. And certainly, you know your heart. How does your heart stand with God? Have you done a spiritual examination recently? Have you looked at your life and tried to find the flaws? Have you looked at the standard to see if you're in the range that you should be? Have you taken those corrections and tried to begin the process of healing and restoration? Perhaps this evening you need to examine yourself. Perhaps you've wandered away from that straight and narrow path and you need to return. Or perhaps you need the prayers of the church in some way. We'd love to help you in any way. Perhaps somebody in our audience needs to become a New Testament Christian. We see the pattern in the New Testament, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, and living a faithful life to the best of our ability. Perhaps you're subject to the gospel call this evening. If you are, please come as we stand and as we sing.